God, we've been fasting for 21 days. I went out with a couple two nights ago, and they sat down with their children, and they said, the church is called a church-wide fast. Children, we want to fast some things. And the kids were like, what's a fast? And they said, well, we're not going to have them anymore for 21 days. We're not going to eat, we're not going to eat that for 21 days. Because every time that we have a thought about that, we're going to ask God to heal those that are on our prayer list. We're asking God for the supernatural. This family decided that the kids would not have dessert and sweets for 21 days. And the kids agreed to it. They said on Thursday night at dinner, they said, our kids can't wait till Sunday night. But it's given them a whole new perspective. Folks, we are asking God for the supernatural. For you see, if you live the life that we're living only in the natural, you never get the full expression of God's heart. I'm not only asking for the supernatural in healing, I'm asking for the supernatural in everyday living. I need it. I want it. I need it in my marriage. I need it in raising my children. Hey, I've never been a parent before. This is kind of new. I got two teenagers in my house. I need the supernatural. So what I want to talk to you this morning about is not how do we get a one-time supernatural event, but how do I live in the supernatural? As I watched Jesus live on the earth for 3 years, He lived daily in the supernatural. That's what I want to do. That's how I want to live. So I began to ask the Lord. I said, how do I get this supernatural experience daily? He said, why don't you look at supernatural events and see if you see some keys to the supernatural? I said, that's a good thought. I said, where should I start? He said, why don't you go to the first supernatural event that I did? I said, I like the way you think. He said, good. You think more like me, it'll get better. So I want you to turn to John chapter 2. This is the story of the first supernatural event recorded that Jesus did after. Of course, there were some supernatural things that happened. His birth was supernatural. I recognize that. But this is the actual first supernatural event that He allowed to unfold when He started His ministry. And it's the woman, not the woman, but it's His mother at a wedding. There was a woman there. She was getting married. Look in verse 3, I'll summarize 1 and 2. The disciples came with Jesus to the wedding. Verse 3 we pick up. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to Him, they have no wine. And Jesus replied to her and said, woman, what does your concern have to do with Me? My hour has not yet come. And His mother said to the servants, rather sternly, whatever He says to you, do it. I've watched Him. Now watch it. I've seen Him do some stuff. Now, whatever He says to you, do it. I personally believe there are three keys in these short few verses right here that will help us walk in the supernatural in every area of our lives. And that's what I want to explore with you this morning. I'm going to ask you a question. Does this concern of Mary that we see in verse 4 when Jesus says, woman, what does your concern? Does this concern that Mary has, is it a life or death concern? No. Is anybody going to be upset they don't get another glass of wine at this wedding? Maybe. But who normally attends weddings? Isn't it your friends? Now, I recognize this is a different culture. I don't go into all the culture issues of wine and is it okay? Is it not? It's not even an issue. This is what I want you to hear. She has a concern that at the wedding, and it's not life or death, but she brings it to Jesus anyway. Why is it that we as Christians wait until it's almost crisis before we take our concerns to Jesus? You ever notice how we do that? We like to wait because we think we can handle it. I mean, folks, I want to tell you something. He wants to handle your concerns now. 2 weeks ago, Robert called and said, hey, we want to have a two-day elder meeting, and I want you to call and get a hotel room. We want to do it off-site from the building so that we don't get interrupted. We want to handle some things on vision. We want to look at some things. We want to shore up some in. We just want to talk about some stuff. I said, great. And he gave me the date, and we talked about it, and I said, I'll have the hotel meeting. Nothing, piece of cake. Folks, I've planned a lot of meetings. I've been in pharmaceuticals for 8 years. I sold pharmaceuticals. I was a manager in pharmaceuticals. I set up meetings all over. I mean, I've been everywhere, all over the United States. I've set up meeting after meeting after meeting. This was nothing new to me. I had the skill to do it. I called 4 hotels, and I was getting frustrated because none of them would do what I wanted them to do. I was getting frustrated. Nothing worked out. Couldn't find a non-smoking. I had smoking room. I don't want a smoking room. I need a non-smoking. Well, if you're going to do that, it's going to be $500. I don't want to pay $500. I'm going through this whole rigmarole. I'm feeling frustration starting to build in my heart. This ought to be a lot easier than this. It's not working. And I heard the Lord say to me, why don't you let me handle that? I said, you book hotel rooms? He said, yeah, I'm pretty good at it. I said, really? He said, yeah. Why don't you give me that one? I said, it's yours. I'm going to trust you. He said, good. I went on about my business that morning. I had a lunch appointment at noon, and I was driving to my lunch appointment, and all of a sudden this thought drops in. I know where it came from. It came from the Lord. He said, why don't you call Ken Jackson? I said, wow. Ken works at a hotel. I said, that's a good thought. I picked up my cell phone, dialed Ken on the phone. I said, hey, Ken, I'm trying to set up a meeting of such and such a date. It's 2 days. He said, I'll take care of it. Call you back in 5 minutes. Click. 5 minutes. That's pretty good. 5 minutes later, he called me back and he said, I got the room all set up. $100. He says, this is the room. It's the greatest room. I've got suites on the side. It's perfect. Done. Hung up the phone. The Lord said, told you I can book a room. He said, why don't you give me all your concerns? Why do you think you have to bear them up? Why do you think Mary took this concern to Jesus? Because she knew that he was able and willing to handle it. See, I want to show you, key number one is you got to go to Jesus with your concerns. I don't care if they're life or death. If some of you walked in here today and you're concerned about your marriage, I know what that means. There was a day I was concerned about my marriage. There was a day my wife was packing her bags and leaving, and I didn't care. I know what that concern feels like. But we had a supernatural experience happen that day because she was willing to go to Jesus with her concern. I wasn't willing at that point, but she was, and it saved our entire marriage. I was a jerk, and she was a saint. And a saint living with a jerk makes it difficult. But she trusted God with her concern, and He worked it out. She didn't have to say a word. You know when the Bible says a woman wins a man without a word? You know what? She won me without a word. You know what the Lord told her to do? This is how I want you to study. This is going to be rocket science to most of you, okay? Really difficult to catch, so really listen hard. The Lord said to her, I want you to begin to serve Him. I don't like Him, Lord. I want you to serve Him anyway. I think He's a jerk. Serving. How? Make Him a glass of tea every day. When He walks in the door, I want you to have a glass of tea, His favorite kind with sugar in it, ready for Him. She's like, oh, Lord, that's going to hurt. I don't know. She tried. And she did. That day, that first handed me that first glass of tea, I could tell things were changing in her heart. I began to watch her. What are you doing, woman? I have my eye on you. Thought you thought I was a jerk. Why are you serving me? It began to melt my heart. I have a supernatural marriage today. Supernatural, I'm telling you folks, it's the most wonderful experience. This is the greatest gift God's ever given me. It's supernatural because we take every issue that's a concern to either one of us, and we hand it to the Lord, and we say, we don't want to pretend like we can handle this because we can't. It's awesome. But she took her concern to Jesus. Second thing she knew and Mary knew at the same time is that he was willing and able. There's something inside of us that we think God is able, but we don't know that he's willing. Last week, Robert preached on Jesus was a physician. If you weren't here, please get the tape. It is an incredible message. When he talked about the leper that came to Jesus in Luke 1:41, and he said, if you're willing, you can cleanse me. And Jesus embraced him. Folks, he embraced the leper. Because he wasn't afraid of leprosy. And he loved the man. And he looked him right square in the eye and he said, I am willing. You know, God is willing to take care of the things that you're facing. He's just waiting on you to ask him. He's able and willing to take care of it. If you'll just ask him. The first key is you have to take the concern that you have. It can be life or death, and it can be a crisis, and it can be just a general concern. He's wanting to be a part of your life. This is a lifestyle, not a one-time event. He wants to be a part of your life. There are going to be circumstances and situations that come into your life that he has allowed so that you'll turn to him. He loves having relationship with you. And that's why some of you are in the circumstances that you're in. You think you created them. He's allowed them so that you would run to him. I remember one time we were at my wife's family. I hadn't thought of this story in a long time. It just popped in, so I'm going to share it. We were at my wife's family. We just got a dog. My wife did not want a dog, by the way. Well, one day as she was praying, the Lord said, I want you to get your kid the dog. Every child deserves a dog. Lord, I don't want to get him a dog. I said, give him a dog. Okay. So we have a little weenie dog. See, all my family names are Jeff and Jenny, Jessica, Joy, Julie, and Jordan. We got a guardian. His sister's name was Angel, but we got guardian. So we thought about changing his name to Jardarian, but we kind of just shortened it to Duger. So he responds to a lot of different things. But there was one day we were at my wife's family and just thinking about how we get in situations. We were out walking him one day and in her parents' neighborhood, and we just walking the dog, and we just talking like we love to walk and talk. I don't know if you as couples exercise together. We love to exercise, walk, and talk. It's just one of our times. We don't do enough of it, but we're trying. And I was walking my dog that day, and we were just talking, and all of a sudden, out of a garage comes two huge dogs. My little weenie dog, I mean, he's bad. He's mean. I mean, I'm telling you, he'll bite your ankle right off. And the fur on the back of his neck stood up. He got that little point on him like, come on, you big bad dog. By the time that dog got about 5 feet from him, he turned and jumped up in my lap. Isn't that a lot like us? Daddy just wants you to jump earlier. You don't have to wait so long. You don't have to flex your muscle. You don't have to experience what you're experiencing. Just jump in his lap. Share your concern with him, and he is able and willing to take care of it. And here's the catchy part. Third key is you got to do what he says. This seems rather difficult to most of us. Somehow or another, our mental capacity wants to figure God out. Something inside of us thinks God's partial. He does heal some, but he doesn't heal all. Not what the Bible says, but that's what we get. We get it from our experience because we don't see an instant. I want you to know this. God is as interested in your soul, your heart, your mind, your will, and emotions as he is your body. He's as interested in your spirit. Spirit, soul, and body. He's interested in all three. He's not just interested in healing you. He's interested in your soul being free. That's why he says you got to do what I say. Whatever, and Mary said it pretty sternly, because she was confident that whatever he said, he was going to take care of it, and he was going to say something. She didn't argue with Jesus when he said, it's not my hour. I'm not going there. I'm not arguing with you about that. That's your call, but I know you can handle this situation, and I know you will. I can somewhat see Mary do this. She walked over and said to Jesus, hey, they're out of wine. He goes, it's not my problem. He goes, we're out of wine. I want you to handle it. And he turns and whatever he says to do, I know you can do it. I've seen you. I've seen you do some stuff. And I want you to, whatever he said, don't question him. Don't, okay? Just do it. And then she walks over right over to her girlfriend and she goes, what's this? Is it going to be good? She said, what? I said, we're out of wine. We're out of wine. It's so loud. We're out of wine. Oh, what's going to happen? Well, Jesus is going to take care of it. What's he going to do? I don't know. Just watch. I told you to watch. Well, how's he going to help? Would you just zip it and watch? They filled up the water pots and it became heaven's wine. Now, a couple observations about this. Did you notice that Mary didn't make any suggestions to Jesus? You notice how we like to make suggestions, how he should handle our circumstances. We like to help God. Now, Daddy, I've got this problem, and that's the way I think you ought to answer it. I need a little money, so I think you ought to tell so-and-so to give me $100,000. What do you think? He said, why don't you go to work? No, I like the giving part better. We like to suggest to God how he ought to do things. The Lord told Abraham and Sarah, I'm going to give you a son. And when it didn't happen immediately, instead of just holding on to the word, their mind began to do this. Well, I wonder what he meant by that. I wonder, maybe we ought to do it a different way. I've got it. And they had an Ishmael. God said, not what I was talking about. He said, I'm going to give you a son. You and Sarah, stop trying to figure it out. Put your mind at rest and only do what he says to do. He didn't tell them to go do anything different, did he? He told them just to believe what I'm telling you is going to happen. And it's going to happen. You know why laying on of hands and people get healed from that? You know why that works? Because Jesus said it would. You know why we can cast out devils? Because Jesus said we could. Do you know why we can raise the dead? Because he said we could. You know why we can drink deadly poison and not hurt our bodies? Because he said we could. Are you catching the picture? You got to do what he says to do. That's the key. About 3 years ago, I'm having a little difficulty at home with my children. I have two teenagers, and I'm not equipped to be... I mean, I'm a fun guy. I mean, I like being in the children's department. We have a great time, but I have limits. One of my daughters and I are arguing on a regular basis now. And I told the Lord, I said, I don't like this. It's not working. He said, well, why don't you give it to me? I said, okay, I'm going to give you this. You're going to help me? He goes, yeah, I'm going to help you. I said, okay, I give it to you. 2 weeks later, we're having one of those arguments. And in the midst of it, I'm intense. I mean, I'm right. I'm intense, and she thinks she's right. And we're in the midst of it, and she gets up and walks out of the room, slams the door behind her, and goes in her room. I'm not through arguing! And I'm the dad! I'm going to win! So what did I do? I chased her right to her room. Open the door, and I'm going to finish the argument. I walk into her room, and it is a disaster zone. And there's a little fire that went later. Boom! She doesn't even obey with keeping her room clean. She don't make her bed. She don't clean her clothes. She don't do nothing. And about that time, I'm just about to say something to her, and the Lord said, okay, I'm ready to help you. I said, well, it's about time you showed up. He said, okay, I want you to do what I say. I said, okay. You mean whip her? I can beat her hard, Lord. I can kill her, bury her, and just tell you she died. He said, no, I want you to clean a room for her. I said, obviously, you have not been here the last 15 minutes. This is not my responsibility. She's not being faithful to what I tell her to do. He said, no, clean her room for her. Oh, Lord, anything but that. Can we just think of a different thing? He said, no, clean her room. I said, okay. So I started picking up, I mean, there was a lot of clothes. I started picking up clothes, started putting the clothes basket, and started getting, she's like a little puppy dog looking around the corner at me like. Finally, she says, what are you doing? I turned and kind of went, what am I doing? He said, just tell her all you want her to know is you love her.
said, that's pretty good. Nah, that was good, huh?
Now we're getting somewhere. I just turned back to her and said, baby, all I want you to know is I love you. I don't know how to be a great father. I'm learning. I don't know all the answers. I don't have all the answers. I just want you to know I love you. I just finished picking up clothes, made her bed, made it real nice, and went out to the laundry room. Walked into the laundry room, put the clothes down, and all of a sudden I'm putting things away, and I turned around, and she's standing in the door, and she had tears streaming down her face. She said to me, Daddy, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. Will you please forgive me? I said, baby, I love you. I embraced her and I hugged her and I was holding her close and the Holy Spirit said, you like my way or yours? I said, you know what? Your way is really good. I said, you're incredible. Made no sense to my mind, but I want to tell you, that day I began to become a supernatural father. The walls in my heart of having to be right broke that day. And I can tell you, many day after many day, I go in and the Lord said, now I want you to talk to your children, but I want you to listen. I want you to hear them. And you stop talking. You stop trying to fix them. I said, that's good. And it works. Because I listened to what he said to do. Whatever he says to do, just do it. Don't come. Can you imagine when he told Peter, go fishing? Peter, I want you to go fishing and catch a fish. The first fish you catch, you pull a coin out of his mouth and give it to the temple. He's telling the fisherman who's caught thousands of fish, pull a coin out of his mouth. Now, out of all the fish Peter's caught, how many coins he pulled out? What does this mean to his mind? Lord, this is a little goofy. I've never paid my... I could catch a bunch of fish, sell them, and then pay the temple tax. Is that what you mean? No, Peter. I want you to go fishing, and the first fish you catch, pull a coin out of his mouth. He said, boy, this is going to be different. You know why the coin was there? Because Jesus said it would be. Are you catching me? If you want to walk in the supernatural, I'm telling you, you've got to do what he says to do. And he'll say it in every area of your life. If you let him, you're going to have to talk. I'm talking about a lifestyle. I'm talking about a life with God. Folks, I don't know it all. I don't claim to. But I know the one who does. That's all that I need. No matter what we face tomorrow, I've got the answer because I know the answer. His name is Jesus. Are you hearing me? If these truly are the three keys that should fit to every situation, then they ought to be able to go to any story in the Bible and put them there and say, can we fit these three keys? I want to look at one. See, you get blessed by being the third service and the third time I share this. Go to Mark chapter 5. I streamline from here. All the rest of the fluff is out. Mark chapter 5. I want to look at one story. It's the story of Jairus. I want to show you how the three keys fit into this story. Because I truly believe these are the keys to the supernatural lifestyle. Not a supernatural event, but a supernatural lifestyle. And if you're going to be in relationship with God, you have to understand this. He's not always going to do what you think he ought to do and in the time that he ought to do it. See, we look at Scripture and we say, well, he got healed immediately. How come I didn't get healed immediately? Well, why don't you ask Dad? Why don't you just stop and ask Dad? Dad, what's the delay about? He'll tell you. Sometimes he delays just so that you become a stronger warrior. You know, it takes more faith to walk through something than it does to get instantly healed. Because you have to hold on to what he said. It takes more faith to go through it than it does just to get it. I'm telling you, he's for the long run. This is not a short 100-meter dash. This is a marathon. When I don't understand, it's okay. I don't have to understand everything. I just ask him, what do you want me to do? It's not working out. When you go into something and it's not working out, you ought to just stop and ask him, hey, it's not working out. Why don't you just call the fact what it is? It's not working out. Saturday night, before I tell you the story of Jairus, Saturday night we were praying for people down here in the front. I prayed for a man on the front row. Actually, I prayed for a couple of people, and another couple was praying on this guy, and I didn't have anything to do, so I just wanted to go over and pray for him. And I was just going to assist them. They were praying. I was just going to kind of be support. I just want to do something. So I go over and I'm just about to lay my hands on him. He said, don't do it. What? He said, anoint him with oil. So he hands me a little vial. I said, oh, okay. So I anoint him. I don't even know what we're praying for. God didn't even tell me. So I just laid my hands on him and I began to pray. Lord, whatever he needs, do it. Real elegant, strong prayer. Real complicated. Thank you, God. Good. Give him another double dose. Hit him again. All right. I walked away. I was driving home that night. My cell phone rang. I picked it up, and it's the guy, this couple that's praying. He said, man, I got to tell you what happened. I said, what? He said, you remember the guy we were praying for? I said, yeah. He said, he's partially deaf. And he said, as soon as you laid your hands on him, his ears opened up. I said, glory. Because you know what I'm being prayed for? I'm partially deaf. I'm waiting for my ears to be. So I immediately looked, my hands went. I think the key is, don't tell me what you need, and I might be able to get it. Not true. I prayed for another man Saturday night. He had high blood pressure. He's a doctor in our church. He'd been on high blood pressure for some time. And he got off the medicine this week. And his blood pressure is lower than it was on medicine. It's amazing. He's giddy. He's a little giddy. He's like a little boy. He's a medical doctor. I've not been healed supernaturally yet. But I'm not frustrated. Because I know my daddy's heart. He's teaching me some things. He wants me to be a stronger warrior. He wants me to hear his voice and stand on what he says, no matter what I see. And I'm going to show you this right here. Jairus was a synagogue authority. He was a ruler of the synagogue is what I'm trying to say. Verse 22, he says, behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, when he saw him, he fell at his feet when he saw Jesus. And he begged Jesus earnestly, saying, my little daughter, she's 12 years old, and she's at the point of death. Come lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him. Okay? If we have the three supernatural keys, then they ought to work. Did he go to Jesus? Now, this is a crisis situation. So I want to tell you, he's not only concerned about the little things, he's also concerned about the crisis things. So you can take both. But you don't have to wait till he comes crisis. Okay? So he did use number one key. Number two key. Is he able and willing? Did Jairus believe that Jesus was able and willing to do it? If he didn't believe he was able and willing, then why did he say to him, if you will lay your hands on my daughter, I know she'll be healed. Now I want to ask you something. Where did he get this? Where did he get this thought? One of two places. He either had to see Jesus do this, or he had to hear from someone else who did. But it was still the words of Jesus. I don't care how you get your information, but you need to hear the words of Jesus. And when you hear his words, you can take those to the bank. You can deposit it, and you can draw dividends off those deposits for the rest of your life. You know why my relationship with my children are supernatural? Because I hear my dad's voice. You know why my relationship with my wife is supernatural when we should be divorced? It's because he's intervened and we've heard his voice. You know why my finances are blessed? Because we've heard his voice. Whatever he says to do, we do it, and we're amazed. You know why we tithe? Because he said to. And he blesses 90% more than you can bless 100%. I don't know how he does it. Don't ask me, but I'm just telling you this. Our stuff doesn't break down. Are you hearing me? You've got to do what he says to do to get the supernatural results you're looking for. And he's not a man who can lie. And he does not show partiality. In Deuteronomy 10:17, he says he's not a God who can show partiality. In Acts 10:17, it says he cannot be a respecter of persons. He is not a respecter of persons. He's not dancing on some and not on others. He's not picking and choosing. He's already done all he has to do. Everything that needed to be done is done. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you to bring your concerns. Jairus brought his concern. He believed that Jesus was able and willing because he asked him to lay his hands. That's where he placed his faith. Jesus agreed. Verse 35, watch this. The story gets worse. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and they said, "Your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the teacher anymore." And as soon as Jesus heard these words, verse 36, that the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler, "Do not be afraid." Now, wouldn't fear just attack you at that moment? Anybody in the building ever had fear attack them? It attacks me all the time. I mean, we moved into a two-story house, our first two-story house several years ago. And as soon as we moved in, of course, we have four small children. First thing we moved in, you know what the enemy told us? They're going to fall from the top and go to the bottom. They're going to be dead. I said, "Well, great, they'll graduate." He shut up and didn't say it again. You know how you defuse one of the tricks of the enemy? What's the worst thing that can happen, Satan? If you want to bring fear, what's the worst thing that could happen? Well, they go from the top to the bottom and they're maimed. Great, we're going to get healed. No, they're going to be dead. Great, we'll raise them up. What if they don't raise up? Then they go to heaven. You see how this works? You defuse him. He lies all the time. He lies all the time. You just need to tell him, "Well, you're a liar." That's a lie. Because Jesus said, da, 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 da. That's why you need to know what Jesus said. So he looks at Jairus and says, "Jairus, don't be afraid. Only believe." Only believe what? "What I said I'd do, I will do." You know what he's screaming at him at this point? His circumstances. His circumstances around him are screaming really loud. And they're telling him what Jesus said is not true. It's beyond him. Can I tell you something? If you're in the building tonight and your concern is under resurrection of the dead, he can handle it. You understand me? If it's a little bit under the resurrection of the dead, if it's in that category, anywhere in there, can be real small, book a hotel, or it can be right up here at death. If it's right under that, he can handle it because he's already proven he can handle it. He already said he's willing to handle it. He's always able to handle it. And Jairus said, "I choose to believe you." He had to go against every one of his friends who were laughing and mocking. And he said, "I choose to believe you." I was youth pastor at a denominational church. The Lord began to take the scales off my eyes and I began to see the things of the Spirit. It was the hardest decision we had to make. We had to walk away. We weren't going the same way any longer. I didn't want to be a disruption. They didn't want me to be a disruption. But my pastor at that time looked at me and said, "I'm going to tell you something, young man." I was 23 years old. He said, "Your ministry's over with." You know, the echo of that came through the devil's voice for a year. "Your ministry's over with." So the Lord one day said, "That's right, your ministry is over with. Now mine starts." And I said, "Now I like that." So I began to tell the devil every time he said to me, "Your ministry's over," I said, "Yep, it died right back there. I'm glad you killed it, because it won't be worth nothing. His ministry starts now." I wonder what concerns you brought in the building tonight. He said, "I've taken them before the Lord before, Jeff. Nothing's happened." I know. You take them again. Did you notice Mary didn't suggest, but she also didn't try to help, but she also didn't take it back. Somehow or another, we don't mind sharing our concerns with Jesus. We still doubt a little bit if he's willing. We don't have a problem if he's able. But we sometimes, when he doesn't do it in our time frame, we take the concern back. And I'm telling you today, folks, the Lord wants you to put the concern in his court and leave it. And put your mind at rest about what he's already said. And just do what he says. If he's not asked you to do anything, then just focus on him. And then when he says, "Do something," do it. I promise you, he'll take care of it. Would you bow your head right where you are? Father, you're the most incredible being I've ever met. There's nobody like you. Lord, I know in this building today there are many who've come with different concerns. They're questioning, can you take care of it? Will you take care of it? I know you're able, but are you willing? Lord, I ask today that you'd reveal that you're willing. Not only to embrace a leper, but to embrace every person in this building, because you've called them to a life walk with you. And Father, I just declare before you today, this is the greatest adventure I've ever been on. Never met anybody like you. I just want to tell you today, Dad, I love you. I'm glad my ministry was killed. I can be a part of yours. But I ask you, Father, you said I could come and ask. And I ask you today for the supernatural. Lord, I ask for the miraculous. Lord, there are people in our presence that need a touch today. And as we come to this time of altar ministry, Lord, I ask for the supernatural. Lord, there are marriages in this room that need to be touched. There are children's hearts who need to be turned back toward their parents. Lord, we need the supernatural. I just come before you. It says my own children come in. They don't care where I'm at. I come in. I know you're taking care of the world's business, but I know you want to hear my voice too. And I come boldly before your throne. And I ask you, pour out your power. Let your glory fall in this place. And I ask it in your Son's name.